God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Now for the good news. Yes, that's Dr. Wilton's title for today's message. Now for the good news. As we open God's Word, the good news, together, I pray you know that we're available for you. Dr. Don wants me to remind you of the phone number, 866-899-WORD. Always will connect you day or night with one of us happy to talk or listen or pray or to connect you with great resources that'll help you grow in your faith. That number is 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you and for you, or connect online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now today's message, now for the with Dr. Don Wilton here on this edition of The Encouraging Word.
When one looks at Daniel chapter 7, and when one studies the content of Daniel chapter 7, I would simply say to you that it is extremely frightening. It's frightening for a number of reasons. It's frightening because what has already happened has happened, and that makes this prophecy true. Because this prophecy was written during and before much of the fulfillment of the prophecy that it speaks about. It's true to the Word of God. We know that what is happening and what is going to happen in Daniel chapter 7 is absolutely true. This is biblical spiritual fact. And the things that we read about in Daniel chapter 7, quite frankly, are awesome. They are frightening. They're very troublesome. And one of the things that I have noticed about Daniel himself in Daniel chapter 7 is that Daniel tells us that what God put into his heart scared the daylights out of him. Daniel tells us that. You would think that this great servant of God had received this word from God, and because of his relationship with God, that Daniel would have been calm in his spirit, but he wasn't. I want to pick up at verse 15 for the rest of Daniel chapter 7, and this will be our concluding study in chapter 7, because starting in chapter 8, we're going to be getting into Daniel's vision of a ram and a goat, and some of the most remarkable aspects of prophecy that we're going to begin to look at together next week. But we need to tie together this period of past and future prophecy that Daniel shares with us from the heart of God. I'm going to read from verse 15 of Daniel chapter 7. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all of this. There were angels standing, ministering angels, that were feeding and confirming God's vision into the heart of Daniel. And here Daniel had just been speaking not just about the four beasts, but he had looked up and he had seen heaven. Then he looked back down and he saw earth. Then he looked back up again and he saw the Ancient of Days seated on his throne. And he looked back down and he saw the activities of the Antichrist, and he saw the disaster, and he saw the trouble, and he saw the turmoil, and he saw the pain. And he saw all the peoples and nations of every tribe and every walk of life. And Daniel saw all of these things, and he even culminates on a very positive note in verse 14. And he says, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, one that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel culminates his vision on an incredible high point, on a crescendo, right up there at the foot of the throne of grace, looking into the face of the Ancient of Days. And there is a magnificent confirmation of the everlastingness of the sovereignty of a sovereign God. And yet Daniel has to deal with his human condition. And so it's no wonder that Daniel looks around saying, I'm troubled in my spirit and I'm disturbed. And he turns to one of the angels and asks him the true meaning of all of this. There is a sense in which Daniel is not doubting God per se, but Daniel is engaged in a titanic struggle with his human nature. Daniel at this point, my dear friends tonight, is reminding us that just because God gave him the vision did not put Daniel in a category of a first-class Christian. Daniel is saying, look, I just want you to know that I might have received this vision, but I struggle just the same as everyone else does on the human race. And I want to, as it were, I want us to all just come back down to earth. And I want us to understand that these things trouble me. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and forever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn, that is the one horn that came up, he's now talking about the Antichrist. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. I believe the European common market. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and will oppress his saints and try to change the set times and laws. Now, I want to talk to you about this because he is trying to interfere in something. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and a half time. That is, the saints of God will be handed over to the jurisdiction of the Antichrist for the latter part of the tribulation period. Fits right perfectly in there. We're going to go Daniel 2:21, Revelation 17:12. If you want to flip-flop, and we'll go there in just a minute. Then verse 26, but the court will sit. I love that phrase. But the court will sit. And his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the same ones who have been persecuted together with those who are already in the presence of the Lord, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Let's go back to verse 15. Look at Daniel. Bible tells us about Daniel. Says, first of all, he was troubled in spirit. I certainly identify with that, don't you? It says, second, that he was disturbed in heart. I identified with that. Third, said he was compelled to ask questions. I certainly identify with that. Fourth, after being troubled and disturbed and compelled, he's still troubled. This is so monumental. It's so big. This is not just something that Daniel pushes to the side and says, look, man, this is no problem here. I can deal with this. I'm a man of God. I'm spiritual. I walk with God. God speaks to me. I have a wonderful vision. I want you to know, don't be worried about a thing. But finally, we arrive at a point of spiritual assurance. You find very often in Scripture that when God says that we place things in our hearts. Do you remember when the angel of God came to Mary about the birth of the Christ child? What did Mary do? Now, to be quite frank with you folks, if you think about Mary's condition, A, she was single. She was unmarried. Sometimes in our communities today, we become kind of hardened to single parenthood. We've almost become accustomed to it. Back in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe we can ever understand the enormity of the significance of a young virgin falling pregnant out of wedlock. It was the disgrace of all disgraces. And if anything could have been said about Mary, I will guarantee you something, folks, that Mary was deeply troubled in her heart. So what did she do? Well, God spoke to her, and the Bible says she pondered all these things in her heart. It's a wonderful picture of the blessed assurance that God gives to those who love Him and those whom He loves.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our speaker here on the Encouraging Word broadcast. This message, Now for the Good News, will continue in just a moment. Don't go away, but Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're here for you to connect you with resources not just in this 30 minutes, but 24 hours a day online at tewonline.org, a great place to discover more about this book that Ann Graham Lotz has provided for us called Jesus in Me. Oh, goodness. You can take a look right now at tewonline.org. Or perhaps you just need to speak with someone. We'd love to pray with you and for you, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd be thrilled to be one of your 2 a.m. friends, as Dr. Don would say, ready to encourage you with the power of God's Word. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
What exactly was it that God showed to Daniel? Well, verse 17 tells us very clearly that the four beasts are four kingdoms. Now, we've looked at those four kingdoms. I'm not going to rehash. We saw that in the first several verses of Daniel chapter 7. The first beast was a lion, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. The second beast in verse 5 was a bear, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The third beast was like a leopard. We saw the Grecian Empire in verse 6. And the fourth beast, which we're going to talk about more specifically now, is the future kingdom, and we believe that is the revival of the Roman Empire. But verse 17 tells us something. Verse 17 and 18 is a summary statement of everything that chapter 7 is about. If anyone ever asked you, what is chapter 7 all about? Take them to verses 17 and 18. That's all you need to do. If I was restricted in this Bible study, and you were to say to me, Pastor, explain the whole of chapter 7, I'd say, good, get out your Bibles, let's read verse 17 and 18. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and forever. You know that little parenthesis right there at the end? It's almost as though Daniel is just putting it in a nutshell, and he's saying to us, listen, here the angel is looking at Daniel. Daniel is standing there. Daniel has received this vision. Daniel has understood the enormity of that which God is trying to say to him. And Daniel is scared. He's troubled in his heart. He is perplexed. And the angel said, listen, you want the long version or the short version? Daniel says, quickly, give me the short version. I'm about to fall to pieces here. He says, okay, just want you to know the four kingdoms will come out of the earth, but I want you to know everything's going to be just fine because God was, He is, and He always will be victorious. And I want you to know that God and His people are going to possess the kingdom. And I want you to know, just a matter of fact, that is forever and forever and forever. That is an eternal victory. It is an eternal possession. It is never going to change. You see, what Daniel is trying to say to us, he's saying, look, what I want you to do is I want you to have a whole lot to look forward to. I spoke just recently to a very precious lady in our church who lost her husband, and she's missing him so much, and I can certainly understand that, knowing how much they loved one another, and grappling for something to say and to be an encouragement to people like that, I put my arm around her and I said, you know, I hope that the Lord spares you for many, many years with us, but I know that you miss your husband so very much, but you know, he is with the Lord Jesus in heaven forever. His eternal life has really just begun to get into gear. He is made perfectly complete forever and forever. And I want you to know that in a very short space of time, you're going to be with Him. And she looked at me, she said, you think I'm going to die soon? I said, no, that came across the wrong way. I didn't mean it like that. But what I did mean, you know, you can say something, and of course she loves me and I love her. She smiled and we laughed. It was a great time together. I said, I hope the Lord keeps you with us for another 50 years. She said, oh, no, Pastor. She said, then I'll be 140 years old. You know, there's something about the foreverness of God's possession. And here in verse 17 and 18, the angel of God looks down at Daniel, as it were, and says to him, listen, Daniel, I know how perplexed you are, and I know how much you're struggling, so I'm going to give you the short version. I want you to know, all's well. Jesus Christ is absolutely victorious. I want you to know you are part of God's army. You are one of the saints of the Ancient of Days. And you, together with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will receive the kingdom. You will possess it. That word possess it means that you are going to be in partnership with the eternal ages forever and forever and forever. Now, Daniel, do you feel a little bit better? Uh-huh. All right, now let me give you just a little more detail. Verse 19. Bible tells us something about the fourth beast. First of all, that it's different in verse 19. It's different from all the others. This fourth beast, this fourth kingdom, is not the same as the Babylonian Empire. It's not the same as the Medes and the Persians. It's not the same as Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. This fourth kingdom has its own uniqueness. Terrifying. It is evil, according to verse 19. It has 10 horns. And we see later on down in verse 24 that the 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from within this kingdom. I believe the evidence points quite squarely into the constellation of the European Empire, which is being rebuilt, the revived Roman Empire. I wish we had time to do a history lesson. But it's very interesting to go and to study the Roman Empire, the lands that were conquered, the age of the Caesars, all the constellation of the different states and people and languages that came under the auspices of the Roman Empire, and then to go and witness the fall of the Roman Empire. The Bible here says that the time is going to come that the Roman Empire, the constellation of European common states, are going to rise up again, not as independent units, although initially as independent units, but they are going to be drawn together as one unit. And of course, we know that to be true. France and Italy and Holland and Germany, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Austria, Scandinavian countries, England. And if you go all the way back to the time of Neville Chamberlain, if you go all the way back to the time of the installation of the welfare state and the kind of tension that exists between the Conservatives and the Labour Party in England. You go and look at Margaret Thatcher, who was known as the Iron Lady, and you see her whole administration for all of those years and the greatest battles that Margaret Thatcher fought. Fortunately, during the 80s, she had a great ally in President Ronald Reagan. But as soon as President Ronald Reagan left office, her allyship began to be dismantled. As long as they had an ally overseas in the biggest country in the world, they were going to be able to withstand the European nation pull and the demand that Europe become amalgamated into one entity. But as soon as that began to break, the door began to open. If you go and watch the movements of the State Department, even if you go back into 1990 and 91 in Desert Storm and Desert Shield, you see the way in which the United Nations of Europe began to get together and began to form an alliance that allied themselves with the United States against the forces that came against us in Iraq. Those types of things today are far more difficult. You cannot get that same kind of cooperation. That whole move toward an alliance between East and West was built up and then began to break down again. And the European nations today are beginning to position themselves. They have instituted their new currency, the euro, and they have broken down borders and no longer are passports necessary. And when you go into certain European countries and you arrive at the airport today, literally at the airport, it says European members, others. Previously, when you traveled through Europe, you would get to Germany or you'd get to Luxembourg or you'd get to Spain or you'd get to France. And it would have French citizens, or it would have German citizens, or members of the Federal German Republic. Now you go to most of the countries in Europe, and there's one or two places you and I go to. When I go to Europe as an American citizen, I can promise you right now, I will have to go through the others. Everybody else goes through European, we'll go through the others. What is this speaking about? There is a build-up, a unification happening in Europe today. That's never been there before. The Bible says that from within this group is going to come the Antichrist, the other horn, as we read about it here. I also wanted to know in verse 20 about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up. And by the way, the Bible says the other horn. It says that these 10 horns gather together and they form a common denominator. And then from within their number, there rises up another horn. Someone begins to make himself known from within that constellation. That's the Antichrist.
Our time is gone for today, but there's so much more to come in this powerful message from Dr. Don. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don will be back in just a moment, because when you think about Daniel being transported into the presence of the throne room, we think about the opportunities we have to make decisions that would ensure that when the time comes, we're in that throne room with Jesus as well. I pray that you would take just a moment and hear these very special closing thoughts from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've heard the voice of God through Dr. Don Wilton today and you've given your heart to Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. We want to put some wonderful free resources in your hands. As a matter of fact, Dr. Don Wilton has prepared some great resources for you. If you've said yes to Jesus for the first time or perhaps come home to Jesus and rededicated your life, let us put these in your hand. You can call for your copy right now, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And just let us know what God's doing in your life. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. And again, let us put these resources in your hands. As a matter of fact, we have a tremendous amount of wonderful resources, including a book from Ann Graham Lotz called Jesus in Me. Here are the details about this wonderful book.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey, someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us, someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus in Me, by Ann Graham Lotz. In Jesus in Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus in Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
Through the Encouraging Word, I have been drawn closer to Jesus. Every morning I read my devotional. I used to be a Sunday Christian. I only read my Bible on Sunday, but through the ministry of the Encouraging Word, it has encouraged me to read my Bible and pray more. I love the Lord, and I know He is with me. I love the Encouraging Word. I watch every Sunday. When you take communion, I take it too. Thank you, Dr. Don.
Our time's gone for today, but you can still connect with us online, even about that book, Jesus and Me, or so many other resources. That's tewonline.org, tewonline.org, or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Remind you, we'd love for you to have the daily Encouraging Word email or the Bible guide on a hard copy. You can request it online at tewonline.org. This morning, I love it, Philippians 2:14, the New Living Translation, was our verse for the day. Do everything without complaining. What a power verse. Wonderful insight also came from Dr. Wilton today about what Paul was driving home. Again, hope you'll get a copy. You can sign up online today at tewonline.org.
The Encouraging